From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Book of Acts, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Paul, Ambassador to Nero's Court. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. There is no light in the planet but that which proceedeth from the sun, and there is no true love to Jesus in the heart but that which cometh from the Lord Jesus Himself. From this overflowing fountain of the infinite love of God, all our love to God must spring. This must ever be a great and certain truth, that we love Him for no other reason than because He first loved us. Our love to Him is the fair offspring of His love to us. Cold admiration when studying the works of God anyone may have, but the warmth of love can only be kindled in the heart by God's Spirit. How great the wonder that such as we should ever have been brought to love Jesus at all! How marvelous that when we had rebelled against Him, He should, by a display of such amazing love, seek to draw us back! No, never should we have had a grain of love towards God, unless it had been sown in us by the sweet seed of His love to us. Love, then, has for its parent the love of God shed abroad in the heart. But after it is thus divinely born, it must be divinely nourished. Love is an exotic. It is not a plant which will flourish naturally in human soil. It must be watered from above. Love to Jesus is a flower of a delicate nature, and if it receive no nourishment but that which could be drawn from the rock of our hearts, it would soon wither. As love comes from heaven, so it must feed on heavenly bread. It cannot exist in the wilderness unless it be fed by manna from on high. Love must feed on love. The very soul and life of our love to God is His love to us. I love Thee, Lord, but with no love of mine, for I have none to give. I love Thee, Lord, but all the love is Thine, for by Thy love I live. I am as nothing, and rejoice to be emptied and lost and swallowed up in Thee.
Loving kindness as a flower. truth thou dost direct me by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting as I trust.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Acts chapter 28 records the ministry of Paul as a prisoner in Rome. For at least 2 years, he was chained to a Roman soldier at all times. Yet he frequently referred to himself as a prisoner of the Lord, or an ambassador in bonds. Rather than bemoaning his plight, the apostle shows to us a Christian overcoming his circumstances. His trust was in the Lord, whether he lived or died. During his imprisonment, Paul continued to carry out the commission the Lord had given him to preach the gospel by fervent evangelism, by encouraging others by his example, and by edifying believers through his epistles. Now to continue this message, Paul, ambassador to Nero's court, here is Dr. Cairns.
Never let us limit the kingship of Jesus Christ to a future kingdom. I believe he'll reign 1,000 years on the earth. That's only part of the kingly office of Jesus Christ. It's only one part of it. He is king. He's not merely going to be king. He is king. He does reign. He has a kingdom of government, of grace, and of glory. And let us never lose the kingship of Christ. My, if we had the victory in our preaching of Christ the King, what a difference it would make to our preaching. What a difference it would make to our evangelism. What a difference it would make to our personal witnessing. We realize that Christ has a kingdom for men to enter. He preached the kingdom. And then you'll notice he preached the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ. Keeping at it. How many preachers nowadays will preach anything but Christ? You can listen to thousands of sermons a year on radio, and you'll hear many, many subjects touched, and you'll hear many practical lessons given, and you'll hear this advice and the other advice, and you'll get dressed up psychology, and little of Christ, preaching the things concerning Christ. My friend, when we get back to the message, when we get people going out there by personal efforts, evangelizing and preaching Jesus Christ, then perhaps we'll get back to the position and power and blessing that the early church had. If you read our Truth for Youth magazine, you'll have seen a very interesting set of statistics from the leader of the young people's movement over there. Of course, he's throwing it out merely as a challenge to our thought. That if we realize that salvation is of God in all this, but if each Christian went out this year and won one for Jesus Christ, and then that whole process was continued year by year, in 35 years, I think it is, you've reached the world for Christ. Now, that's only statistic. I realize that we don't live in a realm of statistics, but it does challenge the thought. Do you realize that every year the number of people who are unevangelized grows? Do you realize that there are more people in the world today unevangelized than there were when Paul was on earth? Realize that if this generation does not begin to evangelize in the name of Jesus Christ, that to all intents and purposes, the task becomes impossible for the next. It's all right to say, oh, we believe that God can send revival. Yes, I believe that. I'm looking for God to do that. But I believe that God uses men. And the sooner we stop making either the purposes or the promises of God an excuse for doing nothing, the better. And the sooner every Christian gets out there to seek this year by the grace of God to win someone for Christ, the better. Paul's first task was evangelism. He said, 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. His second task was that of encouragement of the believers. And this he did by his personal example. I've only time just to leave that with you. His example and his indomitable spirit nerved the believers around him to stand. You find that they saw all that he had preached was real. It's a great thing when people realize that. They'd heard him preach. They'd heard his doctrine. And now they saw doctrine in practice. They saw it's real what this man's talking about. And so they were encouraged to stand. Philippians 1:14, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that strange? We read that, and yet we never stop to think of the logic of it. Paul says, these people see me in chains, and that makes them confident, and that makes them bold to go out and preach the word without fear. They see that it's landed me in jail, and therefore they're not afraid to go and do the same thing as I did to get into jail. Now, carnally, that doesn't make much sense, does it? You see, thank God the logic of the Holy Ghost is not the logic of the carnal mind. And a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't think of things the way the carnal man thinks of them. These people saw Paul. They saw his chains. Yes, but they saw an awful lot more than his chains. They saw a man on fire for God. They saw a man that was full of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said, look, if that's what God does for you and you're faithful, then we'll be faithful even if it kills us. We'll be faithful. If God's blessing is such a wonderful thing, if Paul's example can show us all this from God, then we're willing to follow that example. And they were encouraged to stand for God. His third task was that of edification of the believers. And this he did by his personal epistles. Now, there's some discussion among commentators and theologians as to whether there was one imprisonment of Paul or two imprisonments of Paul. The common view being that he was imprisoned twice. He was released after this imprisonment and probably for 2 or 3 years, went on missioning, got as far as Spain, certainly visited Philippi, places like that, and then was rearrested, imprisoned, tried, and murdered. Now, all according to what your view of those imprisonments is, you're going to say when certain epistles were written. But we can say definitely that at this time, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were written during this imprisonment. And when you read those things that came from the prison house, that's a wonderful thing just to see what God was doing for this man and how God used him to edify the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't obviously study 4 epistles with you in 5 minutes. But you'll notice that in every one of them he speaks of 3 things. He speaks first of his chain. He speaks of his prayers. And he speaks of his messengers, those folk whom he had with him and he sent out. His chain. Why did he always mention the chain? To emphasize the futility of hell's attack. That's the first thing in every epistle. He says, here I am with chains about my hands. Does it hinder the work of God? Not at all. Has it broken my spirit? Not at all. Has the devil got the victory? Not at all. It's futile for the devil to attack. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what the devil's minions do. The promise of Jesus Christ still stands firm. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The futility of hell's attack. And then when he talked of his prayers, he was speaking of fellowship with heaven's King. He says, I'm in prison, but I'm in touch with God. I'm in touch with glory. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but let's notice he mentions this as a fact. Wonder, can you say this morning, now you're not in jail. You're not in jail. You're not chained to a heathen soldier. Your body's not aching full of pains, at least for the same reasons as his. Tell me. You say this morning, I've come to God's house and I'm in fellowship with the Lord. Can you say I'm in touch with God today? Can you say nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream? Are you where you ought to be with God? You've every advantage. Are you in fellowship with the Lord? Are you here today? You can look back and say, Lord, there was a time when I was in close touch with God, but today I'm backslidden. Lost my love, lost my zeal, lost my fire. Fellowship is broken. Then he talked of his messengers. You'll notice this in every one of these epistles. The people who had come to him and whom he had sent out. And Paul found something that you'll find when you get into tough times with the work of God, that he had the friendship of earth's best souls. In the public houses back home, those are the drinking dens, the taverns. They say that there's no company like pub company. There's no singing like pub singing. Let me tell you, for all their faults, and they have many, they're a bit like Oliver Cromwell's face. They have many good features, but they've warts and all. The people of God, for all their faults, the greatest people on earth. Who is like unto the Lord? There's no God like our God. Who's like unto Israel, God's people? There's no people like God's people. When you get into deep water and into real trouble, why, it's good like Paul to know I have men that will stand beside me to the death. I have men that will pray with me, and men that will pray for me. I have men that love me purely and honestly. I have people who would sacrifice their lives for me. Friendship of the best souls on earth. I think we're apt to lose too much of that in churches nowadays. I think we're too apt to come and go from the place of the holy, as the Bible puts it. And we're just like ships passing in the night. Ought not to be like that with God's people. There ought to be the bond of charity and of peace among the people of God. So these were his tasks: evangelization, encouragement, and edification. I was going to speak upon his trials, but if I speak on his trials, I think we're going to be here too long. Sometimes you think that Paul didn't really, when you see all this joy and rejoicing and victory, he didn't really suffer too much in prison. Philippians 2:27, he talks of sorrow upon sorrow. Now, we don't know what some of those sorrows were. The immediate cause for concern was the sickness of Epaphroditus. And what worried Paul, or what concerned him, was that Epaphroditus had come bringing the gift of the Philippians and had probably got sick on the journey and was near unto death for Paul's sake. You'll notice that Paul didn't do a miracle to heal him. Now, when he was in the island of Melita, he did a miracle to heal Publius's father. He did miracles to heal the heathen who came to him day by day. And here was a man that he loved in the Lord, and Paul didn't do any miracle to heal him. So much for the Pentecostal notion that it's always sin for a Christian to have sickness. So much for their notion that it's always the will of God to have a miracle of healing. Epaphroditus had to suffer. And when God willed to touch him by what we would say natural means, then he did it. And Paul was greatly concerned about that. But he said that would be one sorrow on top of all my other sorrows. What were those sorrows? We don't know. You see, the man who walks with God will have trials. The man who walks with God will have sorrows. But the man who walks with God will not be overcome of sorrow. He will not wear his heart on his sleeve, as it were, and go crying on everybody's shoulder and be moping and moaning here, there, and everywhere, spreading gloom and dismal darkness wherever he goes. In the midst of his sorrows, he will have the joy of the Lord. You see, think of this and follow it through for yourselves. There's a difference between happiness and joy. What the world thinks of happiness is so much tied in with feeling and condition. Joy is the abiding assurance of the Lord, overcoming everything else. And Paul had that. He had the joy of the Lord in the midst of all his trials and the midst of all his afflictions.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.